الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إمام جلال الدين السيوطي الشافعي رحمة الله عليه. التارز prayer. O Lord of the Prophet, whoever reads or listens to this booklet entitled Imam Jalaluddin As-Sayuti As-Shafi'i Rahmatullahi Alayh, grant them ability to live their lives as our pious predecessors did, forgive them and their parents without accountability, and admit them into Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. Bijahi Khatamin Nabiyyin Sallallahu Alayhi Wa Alihi Wasallam. The excellences of sending salat upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alayhi Wa Alihi Wasallam, Allah's final Prophet, our Master Muhammad Sallallahu Alayhi Wa Alihi Wasallam said, "The closest person to me on the Day of Judgment will be the one who sent the most salat upon me." Sallu alal Habib Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Traveling from Egypt to Makkah in 27 steps. The servant of Imam Jalaluddin As-Sayuti As-Shafi'i Rahmatullahi Alayh was named Muhammad bin Ali Habbak Rahmatullahi Alayh. He recalls, one day at the time of Qaylula, I siesta, Imam Jalaluddin As-Sayuti Rahmatullahi Alayh said to me, "If you do not reveal this secret before I die, I have an intention of offering Asr Salah in Makkah. I agree to keep it a secret." Then he took my hand and told me to close my eyes. After taking approximately 27 steps, he told me to open them. After doing so, I saw that we were at the gates of Jannatul Mu'alla, a blessed cemetery in Makkah. We visited the graves of Sayyida Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, Fuzail bin Iyaz, Imam Sufyan bin Uyayna rahmahumullah, and more. After that, we entered the haram, performed tawaf, drank zamzam, sat behind Maqami Ibrahim, and performed Asr Salah. He then said to me, "Do not be surprised, for the earth has been folded for us. You can come with me if you want, or you can come back with the pilgrims." I decided to go with him, and we went to the gates of Jannatul Mu'alla. He told me to close my eyes again, and when I did, he took me through 7 steps quickly. Then he told me to open my eyes, and we found ourselves back in Egypt. May Allah have mercy upon them and forgive us without accountability for their sake. Ameen. Bijahi Khatamin Nabiyyin Sallallahu Alayhi Wa Alihi Wasallam. Sallu Alal Habib Sallallahu Ala Muhammad. Birth. From all the respected scholars rahmahumullah that have lived, the Mujaddid of the 9th century, Hafiz al-Hadith, Shaykh al-Islam, Imam Jalaluddin As-Sayuti As-Shafi'i Rahmatullahi Alayh, is amongst those who wrote the most Islamic books. He was born after Maghrib prayer in 849 AH in Cairo, Egypt. He is also known as Ibn al-Qutub, the son of books. One day the Imam's father asked his pregnant wife to get a book from the home library. When she entered the library, she immediately went into labor and gave birth. This is why the Imam is known by this title. Introduction and titles. His name is Abdul Rahman, and his famous appellation Jalaluddin, which was given to him by his father, he is more famous by his title than his name. His laqab is Abu al-Fadl. One day, his Shaykh Qazi is ad-Din Ahmad bin Ibrahim al-Kinani al-Hambali rahmatullahi alayh asked him, "What is your laqab?" The Imam replied, "I do not have one." So writing it down with his own hand, the Shaykh said, "Your laqab is Abu al-Fadl." The Imam was a follower of the canonical school of Islamic jurisprudence founded by Imam Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayh, which is why the attribution Ash-Shafi'i is attached to the end of his name. Introduction to parents and ancestral hometown. The forefathers of Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti lived in the city of Usyut, and this is why he is called As-Suyuti and Al-Usyuti. He wrote a book regarding the city's history called Al-Madbut fi Akhbar As-Suyut. His grandfather was a great saint of Allah, and many people visit his grave in Usyut. His forefathers were respected people of the city, some of whom were wealthy businessmen. They donated land and built an Islamic seminary in Usyut, but his father made the greatest contribution to Islamic knowledge. Rank of his father. Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti's father was Abu Bakr Kamaluddin Rahmatullahi Alayh. He recited the Quran daily and completed it every Thursday. He also taught fiqh at Madrasa Shaykhuniyya, delivered sermons in Jami Ibn Tulun, and was the Imam appointed by the Abbasid Caliph, who respected him greatly. One day, the ruler of Egypt requested through the Caliph that the father assume the position of Grand Mufti of Egypt, a position he declined. Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti was 5 years old when his father passed away on Monday the 5th of Safar, 855 AH, when the Azan for Isha was called. His father was diagnosed with Da'at al-Jamb, i.e. pneumonia, and attained a death of martyrdom. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, "The one who passes away because of Da'at al-Jamb is a martyr." After his death, a person saw him in a dream and said, "Allah tested you in the world, so you gained an abundance of blessings in the hereafter." The father replied, "This is exactly what has happened. May Allah have mercy upon him and forgive us without accountability for his sake. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam." The righteousness of parents and its effect on children. Just as the outward pious appearance of parents has a positive impact on children, so does their righteous conduct. If parents are pious, Islamic scholars or muftis who act upon their knowledge, their fortunate children will follow in their footsteps and serve Islam. This is also apparent from the biography of Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti rahmatullahi alayh. The incidents in his father's life are lessons for those who want their children to follow the sunnah. If you become pious, offer salah, adopt the sunnah, raise your children according to the teachings of the Quran and Hadith, make them memorize the Quran and become scholars, then by the mercy of Allah, you will see how they support you in old age and become a cause of honor for you after you die, inshallah. The dua of a saint. Teach your children about our pious predecessors and the sanctity of their resting places. In fact, take your children to visit their graves occasionally, because if the pious pray for them, their lives will change. Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi said, "My father would take me to scholars when I was a child. When I was 3 years old, he took me to Imam Ibn Hajar and a saint called Shaykh Muhammad. They prayed for me to be blessed." Early life and education. Before the Imam's father passed away, he made wills to several people for the upbringing of his son. After that, Shaykh Kamaluddin bin Al-Humam Al-Hanafi rahmatullahi alayh arranged for the issuing of a stipend for him from Madrasa Shaykhuniyya and paid special care to his education and upbringing. Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti learnt from the great hadith masters of his era. Journey of knowledge and virtues. The Imam had a very strong memory. He memorized the Quran at 7 years old, as well as large Arabic texts like Umdatul Ahkam, Al-Minhajul Lin-Nawawi, Alfiyatu Ibn Malik, and Minhajul Baydawi. He studied inheritance laws from Sheikh Shihab al-Din al-Sharmasahi, rahmatullahi alayh, an expert in various sciences and jurisprudence. He was granted permission to teach and issue legal verdicts at the age of 27. He travelled to Syria, Arabia, Yemen, India, and Western lands to gain knowledge. He learnt from Sheikh Jalaluddin al-Mahalli, rahmatullahi alayh, twice a week for a year. When the Sheikh al-Mahalli passed away, the Imam completed his unfinished exegesis of the Quran, which then became famously known as Tafsir Jalalain. Trust of his teacher. Imam Jalaluddin al-Sayuti, rahmatullahi alayh, said, "One day I mentioned to my teacher that I could not find a narration he cited in his book at the reference he provided. Instead, it was in another book. As soon as I mentioned this, he added marginal notes in his book at the position of the incorrect reference without checking the reference I provided. This increased my respect for him immensely, and considering myself lowly, I pleaded, 'You could have waited to verify the reference first.' This shows us the humility of the teacher and his manner of encouraging his intelligent students. This action of the teacher increased his respect and rank in the heart of his student. There is another important lesson here, that even when you become a teacher, the door of rectification never closes. If someone corrects you, even your students, you should not feel ashamed. Humility only increases your honor, as is evident in the actions of the teacher and the feelings of the Imam in this incident." Bay'ah and Irada. Pledging allegiance to an accomplished spiritual guide with correct beliefs, who fulfills all the conditions of spiritual mentoring. This has been the practice of Muslims for centuries. It is a means of acquiring spiritual blessings. Imam Jalaluddin al-Sayuti pledged allegiance to Sheikh Muhammad bin Umar al-Shadhili rahmatullahi alayh, who hailed from the Shadhili spiritual order. Piety. Along with his marvels in Islamic knowledge, Imam Jalaluddin al-Sayuti rahmatullahi alayh possessed a lofty rank in piety. He remained absorbed in the remembrance of Allah at most times. He performed tahajjud every day, and if he missed it, he became ill due to grief over not having offered it. Subhanallah. Imam Jalaluddin al-Sayuti rahmatullahi alayh would become ill due to the grief of missing tahajjud. For his sake, may Allah Almighty grant us the passion to perform the obligatory prayers and optional prayers alongside them also. And may we also never miss tahajjud. His love for the sunnah. Following the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam is a great blessing. Our pious elders acted upon the sunnah and encouraged others to do the same. Not only did Imam Jalaluddin al-Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi do this, but he acted upon the sunnahs people had abandoned. He revived the sunnah of wearing a taylasan, a cloth which covers the head and shoulders in a particular manner. He wrote a book regarding it called Al-Ahadithul Hisan Fi Fazlit Taylasan, and he encouraged his students to act upon it. May the mercy of Allah be upon such an imam and teacher who had the passion of acting upon the sunnah and encouraged his students to do the same. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Memorizer of 200,000 hadith. Imam Jalaluddin al-Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi explained, "I have memorized 200,000 hadith and would have committed more to memory if I received them. I travelled to Makkah to perform Hajj and made the following dua after drinking Zamzam. My Lord, grant me the rank of Sirajuddin al-Bulqini rahmatullahi alayh in jurisprudence, and the rank of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi alayh in hadith. The acceptance of this dua can be gauged from the following statement of the Imam. Alhamdulillah, I have mastered seven sciences: Quranic exegesis, hadith, jurisprudence, Arabic syntax, semantics, expression, and rhetorical embellishment. Dear Islamic brothers, if one has concrete certainty that dua made after drinking Zamzam is accepted, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam declared, "The water of Zamzam is for whatever it is drunk." Expertise in hadith. Abu al-Fadl Imam Abdul Rahman bin Abu Bakr al-Suyuti al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayh had special proficiency in hadith, and his books attest to this. Taqi ad-Din al-Awjaqi rahmatullahi alayh tested the Imam by sending him hadith with changes to the narrators. The Imam explained the principles and ranks of the hadith and sent them back. Taqi ad-Din al-Awjaqi rahmatullahi alayh visited him, kissed his hand and said, "By Allah, I did not think you knew any of this. Forgive me for what I did." Abdul Wahhab al-Sharani rahmatullahi alayhi said, "Imam Jalaluddin al-Suyuti was the most knowledgeable person of his era in hadith and its principles." Glad tidings of paradise. Shaykh Abdul al-Qadir al-Shadili rahmatullahi alayhi tells of how the Imam once said, "I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam whilst I was awake. He addressed me by saying, 'O Shaykh al-Hadith, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam,' I replied, 'Will I enter paradise?' 'Yes,' he declared, 'without any punishment,' I asked. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, 'It is like this for you.'" The title of Shaykh al-Hadith. The Imam explained, "I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in a dream, and I asked if I could read some of Jam'ul Jawami to him, which is one of my works in Hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, 'Read it, O Shaykh al-Hadith.' The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam calling me with this was a glad tiding better than the world and everything in it." The Imam publicized Allah's blessings upon him and said, "There is no one in the East and West who possesses more knowledge about Hadith and Arabic than me. The only exceptions are Prophet Khidr alayhi salam, a Qutb, or a saint." Beholding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in a wakeful state 75 times. Someone wrote a letter to Imam Jalaluddin al-Suyuti rahmatullahi alayh asking the Imam to commend him to the ruler. The Imam replied, "My brother, up until now I have seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam 75 times whilst I was awake. If I did not fear that meeting such rulers would deprive me of seeing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, I would surely speak in your favour to them. I am a servant of hadith. I need to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam regarding hadith which were classified weak by the research of hadith masters in order to correct them. Without doubt, this benefit is greater than the personal benefit you would receive." Beholding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam daily. In the gathering of Nur Muhammad Maharvi rahmatullahi alayhi, the books of Imam Jalaluddin al-Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi were mentioned, and the former said, "Imam Jalaluddin al-Suyuti saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam every day in a wakeful state. After Fajr Salah, he did not go outside until he saw him. There are some who experience this, and there are others who reject these incidents without cause." Teachers and students. أبو الفضل إمام عبد الرحمن بن أبو بكر السيوطي الشافعي رحمة الله عليه writes regarding his teachers. The amount of people I listened to, those who gave me ijazah, and those who taught me even one verse of poetry, these amount to approximately 600. As for specialist sheikhs, I learned from 150. He had many students too. Hafiz al-Hadith, Muhammad bin Yusuf al-Shami al-Salihi al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayh, author of the renowned Subul al-Huda wal-Rashad. He was also a student of the Imam. Services in teaching. In 867 AH, he was appointed to the role previously held by his father in Madrasa Shaykhuniyya as the fiqh teacher. In 871 AH, he began issuing religious verdicts. Over time, his fatwas became widely famous in Arab and non-Arab lands. He said, to announce the blessings of Allah upon him, only Allah knows the number of fatwas I have issued. I wrote separate books regarding issues scholars differ upon, which are over 50 in total. As for my fatwas, they comprise three volumes of work currently. In 872 AH, he started teaching hadith in Jami Tuluni, where Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani once did the same. This tradition had stopped for 20 years when Ibn Hajar passed away, but the Imam restarted it. In 877 AH, he became the head hadith expert of Madrasa Shaykhuniyya. First book, Imam Jalaluddin al-Sayuti began writing books at 17 years old. The first he wrote was Sharhul Isti'adha wal-Basmala. His teacher, Shaykh Alam ad-Din al-Bulqini rahmatullahi alayhi, liked it immensely and penned an endorsement for it. Most of his books became famous during his lifetime in Arabia, Syria, Rome, India, Yemen, and Western lands. Glad tidings of acceptance. One of his students had a dream and told Sheikh Salih Muhib ad-Din rahmatullahi alayhi about it. The latter interpreted it and replied, the knowledge of Imam Jalaluddin as-Suyuti will spread to the east and west before his death. The Imam authored books swiftly. His student, Shamsuddin rahmatullahi alayhi, once said, I saw my teacher write 3 pages a day, despite writing hadith and answering questions during the day too. Imam Abdul Wahhab al-Sharani said, if he did not have any miracles, his lengthy books on important and intricate topics of fate attest to his rank and greatness. Imam Jalaluddin al-Sayuti rahmatullahi alayhi said regarding 18 of his books to publicize the favors of Allah upon him, according to my knowledge, nobody in the world has written books like these, and nobody in this age will be able to either. 13 of his works. According to some narrations, the Imam wrote 600 books. Here, we will mention just 13 of them. Number 1. Al-Itqan fi Ulum al-Qur'an. Number 2. Ad-Durr al-Manthur fi Tafsir al-Mathur. Number 3. Hashiyatun ala Tafsir al-Baydawi. Number 4. Ad-Dibaj ala Sahihi Muslim ibn al-Hajjaj. Number 5. Mirqatu al-Sa'ud ila Sunani Abi Dawood. Number 6. Sharh Ibn Majah. Number 7. تدريب الراوي في شرح تقريب النووي. Number 8. اللال المصنوعة في الأحاديث الموضوعة. Number 9. شرح الصدور بشرح حال الموتى والقبور. Number 10. فضل موت الأولاد. Number 11. خصائص يوم الجمعة. Number 12. الطب النبوي. Number 13. أخبار الملائكة. When is it permissible to tell others about your good deeds? After performing a good deed, telling others about it to publicize the favors of Allah upon you is called tahdith-e nahmat. Islamic law informs us that it is better for a scholar or pious elder who is followed by people to announce their good deeds, so people follow their example. If the intent is to receive praise from people, it is a sin. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullah alayhi said, self-praise is impermissible, but doing so out of need and to make reality apparent is called tahdith-e ni'mat. This is permissible. Who can praise themselves? When scholars and pious elders, rahmahumullah, reveal their good deeds based on tahdith-e ni'mat, it is not ostentation, but a good deed for them. Their followers will listen to their good deeds and act upon them. So said scholars and righteous folk will be rewarded for it too. However, everyone should pay attention to the state of their heart when they reveal their good deeds, as Satan is very deceptive. He connives for us weak people to reveal our good deeds to others and become ostentatious. For example, Satan can whisper in our heart to tell people, I am only revealing my good deeds to encourage others to do good. The heart becomes elated with the thought, by revealing my acts of righteousness in this manner, my honor will increase in people's hearts. This is ostentation, and to claim it is tahdith-e ni'mat when it is not. This would be an outright lie. For further information, read Maktabatul Madina's book entitled Showing Off. O Lord of the Prophet, grant us the felicity of sincere worship and the ability to recognize the ploys of Satan which destroy our deeds. Ameen. Bijahi Khatamin Nabiyyin Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam. Being a Mujtahid and Mujaddid. Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti Rahmatullahi Alayhi wrote the book At-Tahadduthu Bi Ni'matillah. In this, he explains the blessings and favors of Allah upon him. He writes, despite being a mujtahid, I did not leave Imam Ash-Shafi'i's school of jurisprudence when delivering verdicts. I do not call myself a mujtahid out of pride, but to announce the blessings of Allah and to thank him. He also wrote, through the bounty of Allah, I have firm hope he will bless me with becoming the Mujaddid of the 9th century. Due to his phenomenal revivalist efforts and his religious and academic contributions, Imam Jalaluddin Al-Suyuti Rahmatullahi Alayhi was declared the Mujaddid of the 9th Hijri century by scholars after him, like Ali Al-Qari, Ahmad Raza Khan, and Abdul Hay al-Laknawi rahmahumullah. Patience upon difficulties and suffering. If you read about the lives of the saints rahmahumullah, you will find a salient feature of their lives is that all of them were patient and accepted divine decree when faced with difficulties. This trait is also apparent in the life of Imam Jalaluddin al-Suyuti rahmatullahi alayh. He was persecuted by people who were jealous of him and opposed him. Yet he always remained patient and never retaliated. His student, Abdul Qadir al-Shadili rahmatullahi alayhi said, our Shaykh faced many difficulties, but I never saw him curse or say anything bad about the jealous rivals who caused him harm. In fact, he would say, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, Allah is sufficient for us, and He is the best disposer of affairs. The Imam explains, some were my enemies and intent on harming me. I consider this a blessing of Allah, as it was an opportunity for me to follow in the footsteps of prophets and messengers, alayhimu salatu wassalam, by being patient in the face of difficulties. Forgiving his enemies. Imam Abdul Wahhab Al-Sharani rahmatullahi alayhi said, Sheikh Shuaib told me that when Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi was near death, he asked him about forgiving the jealous adversaries that were present. The Imam said, "My brother, I forgave them when they violated my rights." At the time of his death, he said to the people around him, "Witness, I have forgiven all who attempted to taint my honor. Yet, as a rebuke, I do not forgive those who tainted the honor of other scholars." The terrible end of the disrespectful. When Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti rahmatullahi alayh was in the Sheikh Al-Sufiyya position of the Bibar Siyya spiritual lodge, he saw people using the wealth of endowment for unlawful purposes. He invited them to goodness and prevented them from misusing funds. Yet, instead of thanking the Imam, those misfortunate people physically attacked him. Imam Al-Sharani rahmatullahi alayhi said, "Although Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi forgave them, they were punished for disrespecting a saint of Allah. They were despised by the people and unable to take benefit from knowledge. Some of them became embroiled in eating the unlawful, whilst others rejected scholars and saints, rahimahumullah. Signs of wretchedness were visible upon them. One of them, who admitted to hitting the Imam's back with his shoe, was later seen poor, lost in his desires, and eating unlawful food. When he died, nobody participated in his funeral salah." Knowledge of the future. Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi said to some people, "So and so will become the ruler of Egypt after Jambalad." This matter spread in Egypt and his prediction came to fruition. Utmost grief. He endured the grief of all his family passing away during his lifetime. He said, "Most of my brothers and children were martyred. They lost their lives to a variety of illnesses. I have hope in Allah that He will make me a martyr also." The blessings of having hope in Allah became apparent, and he had severe swelling in his left arm for 7 days before passing away. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, "Man mata maridan mata shahidan." Whoever dies from sickness dies as a martyr. Indifference to wealth. Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti stopped teaching and issuing fatwas sometime before his death. He spent the remainder of his life worshipping in seclusion and writing books. During this time, rulers visited him and gave expensive gifts which he refused to accept. Sultan Ashraf Ghori sent him a servant and 1,000 gold coins. The Imam returned the coins, freed the slave, and made him the latter a caretaker at the Prophet's sacred grave. He sent the message bearer back with a request for no gifts to be sent again, as Allah made it so he did not need them. Demise. Abu al-Fazl Imam Abdul Rahman bin Abu Bakr al-Suyuti al-Shafi'i suffered from severe swelling in his left arm for 7 days before passing away on Friday, the 19th of Jumad al-Ula, 911 AH, 17th October, 1505. He passed away in Rawdat al-Mikyas on the banks of River Nile, and he is buried near Bab Qarafa in Cairo. The man who washed the Imam's body took his shirt and bowl with the permission of the Imam's inheritors. Someone then purchased the shirt for 5 dinars and another bought the bowl for 3. The said buyers considered these items a relics due to their attachment with the Imam. May Allah have mercy upon him and forgive us without accountability for his sake. Ameen bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The relics of the pious. Taking blessings from items associated with the Prophets alayhi salatu wassalam and saints rahimahumullah. This has been the practice of Muslims for centuries. The companions radiyallahu anhum would strive to acquire things affiliated with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam and cure the ill with them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam had his hair cut and placed at a green tree of Hudaybiyah. The companions gathered and took strands of it. Umme Umara radiyallahu anha said, I too attained some of the Prophet's hair. After he passed away, when somebody fell ill, we would give them water which had the Prophet's hair dipped into it. Allah would cure the patient after they drank it. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Words of praise. Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti is remembered around the world today because of his excellent contributions to the world of Islamic knowledge. Approximately 500 years after his death, his books are still studied in Islamic scholar courses worldwide. In fact, scholars have praised his works throughout the centuries. Number one, the Imam's teacher, Allam ad-Din al-Bulqini rahmatullahi alayhi, saw two of his books written whilst he was a student and extolled. I have seen a lot of benefit in these books. They are written with beautiful words and show the author's skill. May Allah accept the author's efforts. Number two, Imam Najm ad-Din Muhammad al-Ghazi al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi said, Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti was an erudite scholar, imam, researcher, memorizer of hadith, and Shaykhul Islam. His books have benefited many. Shaykh ul-Sufiyya Abdul Qadir al-Aidarus al-Hindi rahmatullahi alayhi said, Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi was a saintly man of miracles. Many of them happened after his death. May Allah have mercy upon him. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.